Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Man, shit is crazy, y'all. Like, what am I gonna do? I gotta find a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On this episode, I realize I need to level up my service.
Level it up.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Man, I worked a double yesterday.
Oh, long day.
Brunch, then dinner. Oh.
You sounded tired when I talked to you on the phone.
Yo, last night I sat at the computer for about an hour, falling asleep and just not going to bed because I know it sounds odd. I just needed to unwind.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
But like unwinding was just kind of not being in bed and just kind of decompressing and just let my brain go and I was fading, watching like YouTube or something like that. It's
wow. Sounds strenuous.
And now you tell me we gotta we gotta record earlier than normal.
We're doing a day cast. I don't even know what that means. I feel like those early morning TV, those early morning radio shows.
yeah. Like the drive-in. We're doing the drive-in show.
We're doing the morning show.
The morning show with Marlon and Danny. Like, this guy, man. Why you got responsibilities? Gotta do this earlier than usual. So I went through and listened to our first podcast, which was named What is Good Service? And, you know, in thinking about a topic, it was an inspiration of I worked next to a coworker and I was listening to him.
Yeah.
Man, this guy is good. So in this episode, we're going to talk about leveling up your service, right? So I'll share my weak points as a server,
and
talk about my strong points as well, and different ways in which you can
improve yourself,
and ultimately earn more money.
Okay,
you know, earn them tips.
Yeah,
and that's basically a part of the end game. You know, not the whole thing. So, I'm a natural people watcher.
Okay.
And so, but before I'd be watching my guests mostly. And lately in doing the podcast, now I'm broadening
it all in.
I'm taking it all in, which includes my coworkers.
Yeah.
And now that we ask what is good service and a way that, you know, one of the reasons why I even do this podcast is that, you know, we can share our knowledge,
experience, all
in our
above
experiences and things like that, whether in the business or not, you might find it interesting or helpful.
Absolutely.
And so one of the reasons why we ask you to nominate people, we're talking to the guests.
Yeah.
To our listeners, I should say.
Sorry.
Is that we want them to share their you know, their knowledge and their tips and tricks. And
absolutely. Yeah. We want to hear everybody else's tips. Tricks of the trades.
Exactly. So what I'm sharing with you in this episode is partly my knowledge, partly things that I've learned, and admitting that there's some holes in my game that we could shore up. We all have improvements that we can make. And so I was listening to, and I was like, man, this guy is good, you know? And that was surprising to me, you know, just the little things. Because sometimes what people describe as a server that's good, I look at him and I was like, he's doing too much.
I have a little story just to throw in. It kind of fits all this too. Mm-hmm. So the other night, I'm at work and I'm waiting on this table, and the guy said this comment to me, and I thought it was really nice. And then, and I even told him about our podcast and everything. And he goes, "Man, it was so refreshing having a real waiter wait on me. It's been so long since I've had one of those."
That's a nice compliment.
I it was.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure, like, I wasn't like taken aback like in the wrong way, but it was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I was like, I went in my head, I was like, well, who has been waiting on you?
Exactly. It's a compliment and an indictment.
Exactly.
It's like, where have you been?
Yeah.
But even within my restaurant, I find that I have a lot of strong servers.
Yeah.
But also, I think what the guests might mean, because I've had people that say, hey, you know, I love coming in here and getting you and things like that. And I don't think I'm the best server there, mm-hmm. honestly, you know. But what it is that you make that connection.
Yeah.
And what you do resonates with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. So my coworker, Big Jim, we call him.
Okay.
Been in the business for years. I was working next to him, and he's like a master of ceremonies, you mm-hmm. know? And that's something that I can add to my game. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And he's really good at suggestive selling.
Mm.
You know, he calls it hitting them over the head.
Mm-hmm. He's got the mallet out.
Oh, he's got the mallet. He's like, I hit him over the head with the stone crabs. And then I crushed him with the souffles. And it makes me laugh, and it's funny, but, you know, those upsells and the suggestive sellings, they're huge.
Yeah.
You know? And they love it
mm-hmm.
because he's not doing something that they don't want. He's not just adding things to their check. He's building, you know, value
absolutely.
Into the restaurant, and he's giving the guest an
experience.
Really good time,
yeah.
an experience, and that's the master ceremonies part of mm-hmm. it, you know. And so my strong points. Okay, we're getting right into it.
Yeah, jumping in.
Is that I'm good at controlling the table.
Yeah.
I use humor,
mm-hmm.
you know, not as an overall, you know, you got to be a bit of a chameleon because not everybody's there for you necessarily. Yeah.
Exactly. But you got to read the table.
You got to read the table, you know. I'm good at the details.
Mm-hmm.
Very efficient.
And yes, he is.
And I use authority,
mm-hmm.
you know, authority, my voice, and then we could talk about what that really breaks down to.
He's really a presence at the table, definitely so.
Yes, because I'm all about the things that people notice, but they don't notice that they notice.
Yeah.
Okay? And those are the things that you don't have to, once you know what to do and master those things, mm-hmm. it equates to even being more efficient, and you don't have to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, and people give you that you know, that little space to work and they appreciate it, and they don't feel like they have to work and tell you what to do.
Yeah, no, that's the key.
Yeah, big time. So let's get into, we'll go into the weak points in a bit. So,
okay.
On presence, okay? The phrase that says you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
It's really true, because what you're doing in your first impression is setting a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now you will be judged against that baseline. You ever in school when you're a kid and then your teacher you started out really well with good grades,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you messed up on a test. Your teacher pulls you in. He's like, it's not like you.
Yeah.
they want to give you a better grade. Mm-hmm. You earned a crappy grade.
Yeah.
But they don't want to give it to you because they want...
Because they've seen your potential.
They've seen your potential. They have that baseline of you.
Yeah.
But if you're a crappy student and then you get a good grade, they pull you in. They said, oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
Why are you proud of me? It's like a B minus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because their baseline was that you were an F student.
Yeah.
So what you do with your presence, with your dress, with your stance, I use all of that. You set that baseline and you're already winning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's get into, and these are, some of these I can't really explain. You know, I'm a student of psychology.
Yeah.
So it would go into beyond the scope of the show to tell you why certain things
are the way they are.
Are the way they are and they work. But at this point, you just got to trust me.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Know that they are the way they are.
Exactly. So it's one of the times where I wish it was a visual medium that we're doing. Mm-hmm. But I will describe to you as much as possible.
Paint the picture, make the movie.
Paint the picture, dog. Stop talking and talk. So there is a stance that you use when you are the authority, mm-hmm. you know. You stand straight up, all in alignment, and never hunched over or bent over. That's a little bit too deferential, and you can use that to your advantage when it is appropriate.
Yeah.
And you make an A, basically, with your lower half of your body. Mm-hmm. Your legs are usually further apart than normal. Mm-hmm. And that is the power stance.
Yeah,
you know, people respond yeah. mm-hmm. to respond to you subconsciously that
I'm
way.
I'm visually seeing this right now because I've seen him do it before. So,
and then it goes into where you stand. If it's a two-top, you stand in the middle. Mm-hmm. You command equal attention from both. You know, and if you want to skew that and pour more attention onto one, you asymmetrically stand where you're the middle of the, if you bisect the table and you want to engage the person to your right, you place your left foot in the middle of the table and then you are then skewed towards them. A little, anything more, the other person feels ignored.
Gotcha.
And you alienate that person. Mm-hmm. You don't want to use that move.
Yeah.
Okay? So you really want to use that where you're giving that person a little bit, but you're giving that person a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
What are the reasons why you would do that? Maybe that person is needy. Maybe that person is paying the check. Maybe that person needs, you know, you're a good server. I'm not telling you how to serve.
No, but I understand.
Once you recognize who needs what, you can give it to them.
Absolutely.
That's what we do.
No, that's exactly what we do.
Right? So, and then the hand placement now is when you're at rest, imagine that you're praying and your palms are close together and you pull your palms apart, you're left with just your fingertips towards you, right? And that together with the stand is how I stand. I do not use my book unless I'm referring to my notes, mm-hmm. right? So I don't necessarily always, I memorize the specials as much as possible, and that's another power move. But I'm not afraid to refer to my notes, but I like my hands to be free because when I'm approaching the table and setting this baseline, I make eye contact with absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to be looking at you.
But you need to know
look
what's going
at
on.
Who, yeah, you make eye contact with those who are looking at you. And you linger just a little bit longer than comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's another power move where that when you're making eye contact with someone and you shy away just a little, it's some nuance, it gives them the power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It gives them that upper hand where you looked away first. And it's not a staring contest. That's why I say it's just long enough where they know that you're not afraid to look them in the eye and tell them what's up.
Exactly.
And it's not an aggressive thing either. It's just an authoritative
thing. It's almost a comfort thing.
And it's a comfort thing. Okay. So that's how I set the baseline for presence so that you set yourself as an authority and you didn't even do anything.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So those nonverbal cues, they respond to you in a way that they didn't even know that they responded to you. And I'm big on the presence, obviously. and my voice. Mm-hmm. I use my voice if it's a larger table, and I know that maybe it's loud and I can't project onto the other side.
Yeah.
I tell them, I will come over there and I will repeat it.
Absolutely.
You know? So it tells you that you have patience and mm-hmm. that you have command, that you don't really, you know, and you have the time for them. Oh, and you really want to give them that information as well. They need to hear it.
Those extra seconds make you look like, obviously, like you're saying, in charge of the situation.
Correct.
But at the same time, you're not rushing them, or they still feel comfortable in your presence.
Correct. Correct. So, I'm trying to think of an example. I'm thinking of an example of how I direct my table with my words. I'm very specific with my words. And should I say efficient with my words? Mm-hmm. For instance, I worked brunch yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. And this happens a lot when, now that they can't get up and mingle
There's no buffet style.
There's no buffet portion to it. Okay. And so my job is to, you know, clear the table, fill the champagne, take the order, bring the order, everything.
Yeah.
No big deal. That's what we're here for. Invariably,
it's a lot of work.
You know, but invariably when you're at the table to clear.
Yeah.
And then they want to order.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. But what I tell them, if I don't really want to hold things in my head as mm-hmm. far as remembering, you know, this, because I call it lazy, I call it efficient. Okay. So I'm clearing, my hands are full, and this person starts talking to me, that person starts talking to me. And I said, allow me to write it down.
Yes.
Is what I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So without telling them, oh, I'll be right back, or I got to drop this off and things like that, in that one phrase, they're going to let me leave the table.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I'm coming back to take their order seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I take your order. So it tells them, I take your order seriously mm-hmm. and I'll be right back. But I didn't tell them no. I didn't use any negative terms and things like that. I just say, allow me to write it down. And they can see that.
Obviously, your hands are full.
Obviously, my hands are full and I can't. So those are some efficient words that you can use to direct your guest
mm-hmm.
and ultimately give them good service. So this episode is an extension of what is good service. But we're leveling it up. Yeah, it's the reboot. You know, we're leveling it up. And giving you those deep dives that, you know.
Those little nuances and everything that make what good service is good service.
Correct, correct. So that one sentence is gold. So I guess I should write more of those down, and I'll pepper those into mm-hmm. other episodes, because I like
we could do a keywords episode. I don't think
we have we'll do a keywords episode, like key phrases that you can use that will give them the instructions that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, areas of improvement that I need, really, is I can, you know, as I observe other people, they have that theater to them,
mm-hmm.
you know? I have that theater. I can improve on my add-ons,
gotcha.
My extras,
mm-hmm.
you know, that because the downside to being efficient is that you don't do those.
The extra.
Yeah, that extra, like the mad upselling and things like that. I do upsell in a way that I really want you to get your preference when mm-hmm. it comes to the liquors and things like that. But I don't, like, you know, hammer them with the, you know, do you want to make that a surf and turf?
Yeah.
You know, if they're having steak, you add that lobster tail or vice versa and things like that. And Big Jim's really good at that.
Yeah, it's not a part of my spiel either. And that would be probably the biggest thing that I would say I would have to work on as well would be
mm-hmm.
on the upsell. I'm more like you where I want you there for the experience and I want you to enjoy yourself and you pick what you like. You know what I mean? And I just kind of guide you and I know everything that you...
Mm-hmm.
I'm knowledgeable and I guide you, but I don't really try to upsell you. I kind of let you do that on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... Suggestive selling is one thing.
Absolutely.
But like the upselling and the add-ons, that's another thing.
Yeah.
That's a level up right there.
Yeah.
And that boosts your check, that and ultimately boosts your tips as well, you know. And that's an obvious one. But there's a way to do it where, like when I was in San Diego and this girl tried to do it, she had no idea how. Mm. It was jarring to me.
Gotcha.
You know, we were on a totally different level when she was talking about a tomahawk steak. Get out of here.
Yeah, no, that's, you like, know? That's like my realm.
It's not her realm. She did not pave the road.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, really, you know, not done well. So I will make it a point to at least to upsell to two tables a night.
Okay.
And see what that goes.
Yeah,
and
see how it works out.
You know, get out of my comfort zone, really.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to make improvements, you have to get out of
your comfort zone. Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
And it starts with recognizing your weak points, mm-hmm. you know. And what I am good at is recognizing what gives you better tips, right? So, listen, people might think your tips depend on, you know, your performance at the table when it's based on attention, knowledge, promptness, and things like that. That's not the whole story.
No, you're right.
It's about the connection that you make with your guests.
That's true. That's more so than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, also, I'll kind of jump in on the real quick.
Okay.
So that same night when I got that that waiter compliment, I had a lot of people around me were having not so good nights. You know, it's the holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. People were kind of still on edge, or for some reason, more guests than average are in just not a happy mood, or just, you know, they're more needy than normal for some reason.
Yeah.
But I ended up having I was tired, but that was on my own end. But as far as guests went, I had a great night. Mm-hmm. My guests were all responsive and, you know, no issues like anybody else. Like, everybody else in the building was having issues with guests, and I wasn't having any issues. And I had some what I could feel like would have been challenging tables for other people. Mm-hmm. And everything for me just kind of flew the way it should have. And I just was in that kind of groove where, you know, you made a connection with the table.
Yeah.
Even if you were a little behind with something, you already had that connection, or, you know, everything was kind of building the way it should. And I never was behind with anything, but I'm just saying, like, I could tell, like, the flow of the night was actually in my favor.
Okay. So can you quantify anything and convey it that you were able to do or control that allowed you to step above? And
yeah, you know, just identifying what the guest needs were, and like just being present at all times and making sure that everybody had what they needed while I was cruising the room and taking care of other people's guests as well. It was just like, you know, we know the natural, me and you understand the natural flow of things, but in a restaurant, there's a flow, mm-hmm. you know? So when you're at your table and you're kind of eyeing, you know, you're taking care of what you need to take care of, before you go do anything else for that table, you kind of look around the room and make sure that all your guests are okay, and that you have the ability, just even if it's just a nod or a finger or saying, hey, I see that you need that, and catching those little things that, mm-hmm. you know, saying, hey, I know that you need it before the guests can even tell you that they need it. Like,
okay, so what I believe you're saying is that in order to get into the flow, you have to be present, not in a way, you used the word present, and I understand what you mean, not necessarily as in, oh, I'm here and accounted for,
yeah.
what do you need? Present in a way that you're in the area and able to observe.
Absolutely. Right?
So what I used to train is to have that presence. Once you're efficient, you have enough time to exactly. be present, mm-hmm. okay? And before I even walk into the room, you want to scan mm-hmm. and see what it is that, where you're going to go first. You want to plan your move. You may exactly. not go to the first physical table, but you might bypass that first physical table to unload or talk to or whatever, mm-hmm. and then work your way back.
Yeah.
So as you're scanning, you're going to say, okay, the table's going to really tell you what it needs.
Yeah.
Right? As far as once you look at it, mm-hmm. if their head is up and they have food on the table and they're not eating, they're doing one or two things. They're missing something, they're taking a break, or they're talking. Mm-hmm. So if they're not talking, it's one of the other two.
Yeah.
Right? So
why?
Exactly. And then the table telling you what it needs, you look at the table, and if it's not if it's not food, drink, or utensil, it may not belong on the table.
Yeah.
So then it may need to be cleared.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not useful, it's garbage.
Yeah.
So having the eyes to say what doesn't belong on the table, and then you prioritize what needs to go first so that you can... Because if you talk to a table that needs to order, you really want to talk to them first when you don't have anything in your hands.
Yes.
And then you clear afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you could even walk by a table knowing that what you have to do, and you say, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to clear this. I'm going to talk to this table. I'm going to do that, blah, 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 blah.
And they, and they respond to that.
And they respond to that. So, but leveling up, we want to talk about more.
Yeah.
Okay? More than that. So as far as, and we promised, you know, to tell you about how to, you know, make them extras too, mm-hmm. you know, make the tips. There's studies, the law of reciprocity.
Okay.
Okay. The smallest thing that you concede or give to someone, they feel obligated to give back. The way that a guest can give back,
mm-hmm.
or one of the ways, is through a tip.
Yeah.
So one way that people, some servers use the law of reciprocity is by giving a little something,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the meal usually, hey, here's some toothpicks, mint,
yeah.
whatever. That's not how they present it.
I got you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's some of the free tools that they have.
Yeah.
And it's so small. But it does increase tips.
Absolutely.
And it has been studied.
It's that lasting member, that last memorable thing at the end, that kind of right before.
Yeah, they do it in sales all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give you a small concession and then you feel obligated to either make the sale or come down on your price,
yeah.
whatever the case may be. It's a well-known tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if something... you know, that you are able to do within the rules, you make sure that you let them know,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, I gave you those coffees for free, or I took that off and blah, 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 blah. Not necessarily if there was a problem, because then that was the exchange, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you go above and beyond and you're able to give them that, you know, that thing, then they feel obligated. So that's leveraging the law of reciprocity. And another way is studies show that people who wrote on the check, okay, their tips increased from 16% to 18%.
Really?
Yeah. So it could be a thank you, a smiley face, things like that.
Do you write in your checks?
I never do.
Neither do I.
So that's another thing that I could
okay.
do. You know, and I always knew that, but it's like, it's that ultra efficiency. I don't got time to be writing on my check.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, I'm keeping it moving.
Moving.
You know, I remember asking someone to print my check for me and drop it. I got the check back and it had this note on it. I go, what the hell is this?
What did you do?
I don't do this.
Exactly.
But it works.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all about doing what works. I mean... listen, if you're going to tell me the difference between 16 and 18%.
He shouldn't write on a check anyway. He has that Dr. Chicken scratch. I don't think they understand him.
Thanks. I have terrible handwriting.
No, it's legible, but it's chicken. It's, well, whatever.
I'll leave it alone. If it's chicken scratch, it's not legible. Like, you try to read a note there. There's a note there. Read that.
Fresh first.
Oh,
restaurant
good.
Or return, but something like that. Close enough. And then everything
good.
Else under it, it's chicken scratch. Like, I can come here often, and I can read a few things on here, like knowledge. But yeah, he writes like a doctor. you ever see those prescriptions, and you're just like, what? Yeah, how
what
are they understanding that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'd have to slow down. And that's probably why I don't do it.
Yeah.
But I could commit to doing that.
It's not my thing. People's things is just not.
I think about it.
Yeah.
But I earn the extras a different way.
I do the same thing.
You know, but I'm just, hey, not, you got to play to your best.
You play it the way that you feel like it's going to come off best for you.
Exactly. So yes, it does increase your tips a little bit. And a lot of people do it, or can do it, should do it, don't do it. We're just here to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Right? I can't tell you in all my years, 24 years, I probably wrote on so little of these checks.
I've maybe five max my whole career. And but I get a lot of notes back, which I kind of dig, which is really cool.
What's a lot though? I mean, you get some, so that's a lot.
Yeah, well, I feel like when I put people come to me on a more regular basis, like, man, you get more notes on your checks than I've seen anybody else get.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, because we don't close out our checks. You know how it is over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
The bartenders or the managers see it, and you know, so I get at least two a week, mm-hmm. which isn't, you know, I mean, for the volume that you do and the stuff that we do, you know, and
how does it matter to you when somebody writes on the check and says great?
No, I mean, well, it makes you feel good. Unless okay. you know that you did your job. Okay. Now, if that's the tip, then you know, then you're not as happy. But
or what about if they're hitting on you, and then they write their number down or whatever, a nice compliment.
Yeah,
the tip's like kind of weak. It's like, what's the point?
It is, exactly. The tip unless they're really hot.
The tip is the compliment. Yeah. Not even. They're less hot. They are less hot.
They hurt your soul with that, yeah.
Yo, listen, the tip is everything.
Yeah.
You are not hot if you don't leave a good tip.
Exactly.
It ain't happening. You are ugly.
What happened?
You are not nice. You are not nice. You know, it's the tip is everything. The tip say is it everything. In a tip.
Say it in the tip.
This
is what we work for.
Listen. You can treat me badly.
Yes.
And tip me great.
Great, and I will be okay with it.
I'm all right with it, because you know why? You paid for it.
I might have been upset during that journey, but at the end of the journey, I'm excited.
Listen, the end is all that matters.
The end is all you remember.
That's true.
Nobody remembers second place, okay? You know how that is, that old classic story of who went to the Super Bowl, did this. You only remember the winner of the Super Bowl. You only remember who they played half the time.
That's true. You're not lying. Say it in the tip, people. And I had a table yesterday, brunch, that come in all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they tip terribly. But they're nice.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care.
Show me how you care in the tip.
I'm contemplating next time I see him in my section, I'm going to have to call the dude over and give him a talk.
Ooh. It's that bad?
It's that bad.
Damn.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
For no money. Oh. You're costing me money.
And you don't want to not give them that service that they deserve.
No, I give them the service anyway. Yeah. It's my job. No, it's my job, you know? If you're washing cars, you got to wash them cars.
Yeah.
You know?
So you got to have a standard.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
It's written on the shirt right now, actually, people. Standard.
You're hilarious. All right, let me move on. So I read an article in the Chicago Tribune, and so it was right up the alley of what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
It's really not. It's you want to guess how much your performance, that how much they discover your performance affects your tips,
mm-hmm.
as far as you know. Like the extras, you went above and beyond in your performance and things yeah. like that. 4%.
Okay.
So that goes to show you it's about other things. It's about making that connection. You know, the boost comes from that when you're relatable to your guests.
Yeah. I feel like my best tips are when I'm relatable to my guests.
Yes, without a doubt. And so beyond the obvious of upselling and the bigger the check, the bigger the tip, things like that, right? So guests who perceive you as an individual, you know, and not just another average Joe working at the so-and-so, uh-huh. that ups your check as yeah. well. So there was a study that showed that girls that wore a flower in their hair versus girls that don't, they earned 17% more tips.
Wow. That's
just
huge.
From being a standout.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're the type of person that has a little bit of flair, not like the old school Fridays, you know, yeah. buttons everywhere, but like some little trinket that's interesting to people that they may be a conversation
starter. A conversation piece, yeah.
If you're able to get away with that at your
place.
I used to wear a binary watch.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that watch.
Yes. And it was such a conversational piece. It doesn't really work. I need to replace it. No, anymore. It worked at the time, but it wasn't a well. Those tend to be handmade, amateur-made watches because it's a niche type of thing. It's pretty cool if you guys don't know about it. So basically, the binary watches or clocks, you really have to do a bit of math to tell the time. So where, what position these lights are on the watch,
yeah,
with a position will tell you what time it is, and you really have to add and subtract to make the time or the date and things like that. So the binary is you'll have 1, 2, is it the prime numbers? I can't remember.
Is it binary 0 and 1?
0 and 1, yes, but. I think the binary is like either the lights on or off.
Gotcha.
Right? And so the positions, which is like, okay, so the 2 is lit up and the that, so you have to add that or subtract. It's really, really cool. Where is it? I wish it was handy. I could tell you the time, but off the top of my head, I can't remember the positions and things like that. But check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember the watch.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a conversation starter. And it did, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people did respond to me a little bit differently. And using your name.
Yeah.
Right? That's another way to... You know,
I don't like telling
to...
my name, but it always comes out. Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
I demand it.
Do you?
Yes. Yes.
If they ask me, it's all theirs. But I usually don't say anything.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And one thing that I do also when it comes to that subliminal command, right? I never say my name is.
Yeah.
I say I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you declare I am, you're...
He's Will Smith now.
you're really... stating your presence in the universe.
Absolutely.
More so than someone who named you, and then you know, you can be anybody.
Yeah.
It's a different feel and empowerment that it's necessarily for you that when you say I am, you project better than when you say my name is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so now the next two are one that I do and one that I very rarely do. Is getting on the same eye level as your table.
Okay.
Like squatting down at the table. I very rarely do that. Mainly because I don't understand it to be a thing that works.
Well, you said that earlier too, that your presence, you told them your presence at the table.
Yeah. Maybe it might work at a more casual place.
Because
I did do it at more casual places.
Yeah.
Our place is not casual.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it fine dining either, but...
It's that nice mix in between.
Definitely upscale.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that will work,
but
I did use it, you know, at other stops and things like that. And I would more squat at the table than bend over at a table. That means completely different things in body language.
Yeah. Because you still want to be eye level. If you're squatting, you're just trying to be eye level with that person you're trying to speak to.
Yes, and it's a relatable I'm like you type of thing.
Yeah,
and that increases your tips according to this Chicago Tribune article. And then one that I don't do, the one that I do is the shoulder touch.
Yes, okay? I use it all the time.
So he talks about, like, the article talks about touch, and it says preferably on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. That ups it big time, like 17%, whatever the case may be.
Really?
Yeah.
The touch?
Yeah, but you want to use it.
And I use the touch all the time. So
okay, I mean, so let's talk about how you use the touch and how I use the touch.
I use the touch like just as almost like reassuring, like before I leave the table, or it could be just a quick little pat, or you know what I mean? Anything like that. You know, so I mean, just as I'm walking by, like just a quick... Like a shoulder touch, or just to let them know my presence is there, or I'm coming to the table, and hey, how you guys doing? And you know what I mean. And then I kind of go from there.
You ever watched Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, of course.
The touch.
Yeah,
I use it very sparingly. I use it I don't like to be touched, so I understand that. But it's not. It's the slightest. It's an attention thing.
Yeah,
you know. So if I'm speaking and they're really, you know, their attention is off somewhere else, I kind of just place my, you know, not even my hand, my two fingers, preferably my two middle fingers, and I touch them on the shoulder, and I speak at the same time. I never tap, I never poke. Those are completely different signals. And so that one is a very, very powerful one. Another one that I do use is repeating the order. I echo the order back. And it does signal to them that you're taking your order seriously and I have it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Also giving you the gravitas that if anything goes wrong, it's like, oh, no, he had it. But that also increases your tips. It takes a little bit longer, but, you know, I don't do it every time, but I do it more often than not. I repeat the order back.
Yeah.
And it should be in your steps of service, but, you know.
Repeating the order back is key.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because then you let them, even if like, see, I don't write my stuff down, but I always repeat the order back.
Mm-hmm.
This way you have in your mind, not even in your mind, but you also have a reference point at your table in case a guest says, hey, this was wrong. Everybody at the table heard you repeat the order.
Yeah.
So you were able to have your, hey, it happened to me multiple times. Like, no, he repeated it back. You did say that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, they saved you from what could have been an issue.
Yeah. Now, this next one increases your tips by 10%.
Oh.
Is learning and repeating your guest names back to them.
Okay, yeah.
I don't ask guests their name.
No.
But if they tell me their name, I make it a point to remember.
Yeah.
And I'm not good with names.
Yeah, because I'm not either. I'm just, because you just see so many people, you know, it's.
But that's something, that's an area that I can improve.
Absolutely.
I just don't pay that much attention to it. But when they tell me, it's important to me.
Yeah.
So I sneakily write it down. If I have my book out, I'll wait till they start telling me something, and then I'll write it down as if I'm taking order.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't look like I'm writing their name down.
Mm-hmm.
So I sneaky write their name down if it's not something that I can remember right away.
Yeah.
I try to make an association real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know. If their name is Mike, or I remember a Mike that's, you know,
yeah, a friend of ours, yeah, exactly.
And I imagine them sitting there and things like that. And maybe you can do a show on how to remember orders.
Okay.
What you know, because
the little key traits that helped me get through it.
Correct. So when I'll save it for the show because I do it as well, but I tell you how I do it. Maybe that winds up. So write that down.
I like that.
And then the last one, that's funny. He air wrote it down. So, and the last one we're going to do that they identify that increases tips is servers that are in a good mood, that have a sunny disposition.
Mm-hmm.
Their tips are reported higher than, you know.
That's me.
Baseline. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much. If you have anything that, right along this whole show, in line with this show, is that we are asking you to nominate an all-star from your restaurant.
Give us your all-star.
That you'd like us to interview, and we'll put your restaurant on the spotlight.
And they can tell us their tricks and their, you know, all those things.
Yes.
So we can know how they give good service, so we can add to these upping your games.
Yes. And the way to do it is email us at themodernwaiter@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, or I'm very active on Instagram, or communicate to us via Instagram, we're at The Modern Waiter Podcast on Instagram. So I'd like you to thank you so much. And if you'd like to support our show, pass it along to a friend. Hit
best
that
way.
Share button. Yeah, that's the best way. Tell them that you, you know, you listened to a really cool podcast and you enjoyed it, if you did. And, you know, we do this for you every week, and we are growing, and we are appreciative, and we are grateful. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
That he is. And I am Danny DeVilla. And subscribe, people. We will see you next time.
Later.
chasing that dream. See, way before 14, I had a fetish for green.